Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time, and an archive of today's program can be found on our homepage by clicking on the podcast tab. Today's guest is Dr. Mario Kinsella, pulmonary physician with UPMC Hammond. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this month's edition of Business Spotlight featuring UPMC Hammett. In today's episode, we're going to discuss an important topic that has affected this entire region, and that is the smoke from the Canadian wildfires and how it can affect your overall health. And we are joined today by Dr. Mario Kinsella, who specializes in pulmonology and is certified in sleep medicine, pulmonary disease, and internal medicine by the American Board of Sleep Medicine. He practices at the UPMC Comprehensive Lung Center and is affiliated with UPMC Hammett. Dr. Kinsella, thank you so much for joining us today to discuss a topic that has been on everybody's mind in this region.
Glad to be here, and I'm glad to talk about this topic, which, as you know, is at present very important because it's so common now. A year ago, we didn't know much about this. Now we do.
Well, doctor, we'll get right into it. We've all had to endure this summer the aforementioned smoke from those Canadian wildfires. What is the impact of the smoke we're inhaling daily from these fires, and how concerned should we be?
I'll answer that in two parts. I'll answer the second part first. I think we should be very concerned, because when we breathe in smoke, which we're not supposed to breathe in, it can have a significant adverse effect on us personally, on our children, and on our people who have difficulty anyway. As you know, we determine how severe health effects are going to be based on what's known as the air quality index, which basically goes from 0 to 500. And that's the higher, the worse the air has been. And generally, if it's under 50, the air is pretty good to breathe. We've had levels here in Erie up close to 200 or more in the past month, which in fact is very unhealthy air. And this time, what we're noticing particularly badly is that we are polluted by smoke. And the worst thing about smoke pollution is it has very tiny particles. And those tiny particles can enter into the airways, obviously, but they're actually small enough to get into the bloodstream. Now, these tiny particles are irritants and can cause an acute inflammation either in the lung or in the body itself if you absorb them into your bloodstream. If you get an acute inflammation, this can have some very serious adverse effects on individuals. For example, I'm a lung doctor, as you alluded to, so I'm seeing patients with underlying lung disease. People who have lung or airway disease can find this acute inflammation of the airway to be extremely serious. Can exacerbate a condition such as COPD, can exacerbate a condition such as asthma, and they have to be very careful. If the particles are small enough to get into your bloodstream, as smoke particles can be, then it can initiate an acute inflammatory reaction in the body. And if you have something like heart disease, it can cause an acute inflammatory reaction in a heart blood vessel, which can actually initiate a heart attack. Now, you asked if we should be concerned by this. My big concern is, of course, we should, because this has gone on now for quite some time. This started, the local adverse effects, health effects of this started about a month ago. We're now into our second month, and there's no sign of this going away anytime soon. A month ago, the really bad air was coming from wildfires in eastern Canada. The last couple of weeks, the bad air has been coming from wildfires in western Canada and western United States. There is no sign of these fires going anywhere anytime soon. It's expected they will last till at least the first snowfalls, which will probably be in November in eastern Canada and western Canada. We can expect to have intermittent bad air, depending on wind, until snowfall in November.
Wow, Dr. Kinsella, those air quality stats that you brought up during your answer are very alarming. Considering how many individuals in this region carry a lot of the health issues that you had just mentioned in your response, this is something that everyone should be taking more seriously.
We do. Unfortunately, this is our first year where we've noticed significant smoke from wildfires from Canada. Unfortunately, as the earth is warming up, wildfires are going to become more common. We've seen this in California for the last several years. We're seeing it in Eastern Canada now. We've seen it in Western Canada for about the last 3 or 4 years, but they've had very prolonged, severe wildfire seasons in the summer. As you can see from the news every evening, we are seeing this in Europe this year. Southern Europe is baking at the moment. Greece is baking. There are terrible wildfires in numerous Greek islands. There have been tens of thousands of people having to flee wildfires who are on vacation in Greece in the last several days alone. Unfortunately, as this earth gets warmer, which in large part is caused by us, we're going to see this as a more common, more frequent, and worse problem.
Let's go with a two-part question, Dr. Kinsella, and start with what short-term effects are you seeing so far here in Erie from the smoke, and what do you fear the long-term effects of the smoke can or will be as you start to treat patients?
Well, the short-term effects which we are seeing are patients who have lung disease, especially COPD and asthma, are getting to be more short of breath, they're getting more coughing, they're getting more exacerbation, which basically is a worsening of the underlying condition. We are seeing more of this more often in our numerous patients who have COPD. Ideally, if the air quality is bad enough, you want to avoid it and stay inside in air conditioning. A lot of people don't have air conditioning. We think everybody does. They don't. Large numbers of my patients don't have air conditioning or access to air conditioning and therefore have difficulty escaping the terrible air. It's very hard to stay inside when it's 85 degrees outside and not open a window if you don't have air conditioning. You open a window, you get pollution from outside. So we're having double whammy of warm, humid climate, which fortunately here is a very short period of time, and poor air quality both at the same time, which is a double whammy on our patients with chronic lung disease or acute lung disease. We're seeing patients getting worsening shortness of breath, worsening episodes, worse COPD and asthma exacerbations acutely over the last month because of pollution from wildfires from Canada. Now, we do know, unfortunately, in the long-term effects, you are going to see a rising in mortality rate or death rate from patients having heart attacks, COPD exacerbations, etc., because of worsening air and worsening pollution. So the short-term effects are acute exacerbations. Long-term effects are worse disease and increased mortality, increased rate of dying.
Looking at it through the demographic lens, is the local senior population the most vulnerable to the adverse health effects of the smoke from these wildfires?
Sure they are. The two most serious demographic groups are the young and the old. The young, because their defenses are not yet built up as strongly as they'd like them to be because they're young. And secondly, their organs are developing. There's a very good article in the New York Times from approximately 2 weeks ago where two pediatric lung doctors spoke about the adverse effects on lung health development because of exposure to wildfire smoke. And they concluded in the article that they feel that climate change will be the single adverse factor for development of adverse health in people who are now young children. We also find elderly patients especially are susceptible to adverse effects of wildfire smoke and pollution simply because they don't have the defense mechanisms that you had when you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, or 50s. So those over 60 are more prone to develop adverse health effects of breathing in polluted smoke. And as I said, when they get those tiny little particles, you have the ability to develop acute inflammation in the body, and the elderly are most susceptible to adverse effects, such as heart attacks, from acute inflammation, inflammatory reactions from inhaling smoke.
Doctor, you brought up a few moments ago the fact that the heat and the humidity is going to add to the issues because not everyone has access to air conditioning. They're going to have their windows open because they have to. The smoke particles are going to get into their homes. So with that being said, what type of preventative measures can we take to protect ourselves from inhaling this harmful smoke, especially for those that don't have access to filtered air and air conditioning?
Well, what I'm doing now, whenever I find the air quality index is poor, what does poor mean? I'm going, if it's more than 100 even, I will wear a mask outdoors. For the last 3.5 years, I've been putting on a mask going indoors and taking it off going outdoors. Now I put it on going outdoors and take it off going indoors. That's number one. Limit your time outdoors. If you have to be outdoors, try not to exercise, especially if you have underlying lung disease or you're elderly. Limit the time depending on what severity the air quality index is. And certainly if it's over 200, I would not exercise outdoors at all. I'd be even reluctant to go outdoors if it's over 200. So keep an eye on the air quality index. We all have, most of us now have smartphones. We all have tons of apps on our cell phones. Most cell phones will have a weather app. Your local weather will have an air quality index, which I personally didn't pay much heed to till about a month ago. Now I look at it every day. And just watch what the air quality index is. If it's high, try and avoid going outside. If you have to go outside, don't go outside for too long. I'm personally wearing a mask if the air quality index is poor, especially over 100. And certainly over 150, I'll wear a mask every time I'm outdoors. So try and avoid going outdoors when the air quality is poor. Limit the amount of time you spend outdoors. Limit the amount of exercise you do outdoors when the air quality is poor. If you are going outside and it's warm, stay well hydrated.
Dr. Mario Kinsella, pulmonologist with UPMC Hammett, is our guest today on Business Spotlight as we continue to discuss the adverse health effects of the smoke from the Canadian wildfires on our region. Doctor, you mentioned earlier that the consensus right now is that it could be we won't get full relief from this until November, when we usually start to see significant snowfall in this region, and of course, for our neighbors up north in Canada. Outside of that, any other educated guesses on how long we'll have to endure this?
Well, it depends, I think. I don't know much about wildfires. I don't know why you get so many wildfires. I don't know what temperatures you have to get wildfires. I'm not a wildfire expert, but I cannot see how the fires will stop until they get rain or snow. And most experts I've listened to over the last several weeks have said, we don't expect this to stop until we see snow, and we don't expect to see significant snow before November. Now, there was dreadful rain in part of eastern Canada over the weekend, especially in Nova Scotia. There aren't any wildfires, as far as I know, in Nova Scotia. If that rain was a little bit further north, it may have helped us put some of the wildfires in Quebec. But as far as I know, it didn't rain in Quebec. It only rained in Nova Scotia, which is south of Quebec. So until we see significant rainfall or snowfall, I'm not expecting to see much alleviation in having to breathe in polluted air from wildfires. Now, as you know, when we had the wildfires a month ago, when we had the effect of the wildfires, we were seeing wind coming from the east, which is unusual. Most of our wind here, because of the way the earth revolves, actually comes from the west. Now most of our polluted air is coming from the west because the wind is going normal direction now. Winds can change. I don't know what makes winds change. I think we have to watch out for see where the smoke is coming from, see what direction our winds are, and watch out for that air quality index on your phone or on your computer each day and make sure you know what it is. But I'm not seeing much alleviation prior to the winter when we're seeing significant rain and snowfall, which I would expect probably be November. Now, it's possible they may make some headway with putting out the fires in eastern Canada. After 6 weeks, they're not making any headway, so I'm not sure I'm going to see much headway there until November, which is when the snow comes.
At what point should a patient seek medical help from the UPMC Comprehensive Lung Center at UPMC Hammett? This could even go beyond what we're discussing as far as the smoke from the wildfires.
Anytime they want. There's no harm in ever asking if you're concerned about your health. There may be concerns if you don't ask. If you feel you're more short of breath than you can cope with, you're more short of breath than usual, don't understand why you're feeling the way you are, you can always ask. We've had a lot of patients saying, this is a bad day for breathing compared to yesterday, the air is more polluted today. If that's the case, if you have reliever medication, you may have to take it. Make sure you take your preventive medication. Stay away from cigarettes. Those of you who still smoke, who have COPD, if you have asthma, don't smoke. If you're anybody else, don't smoke. If you have any concerns, do not hesitate in seeking help, either with your PCP or with your lung specialist, or if you have to go to a urgent care or an emergency care center if you're feeling ill. Don't hesitate to ask for help if you feel sick.
Dr. Kinsella, before we move on to the topic of lung cancer. Let's put a bow on the wildfire smoke discussion. You've given out so much great information as we're just past the halfway point of today's program. But is there anything that we didn't get an opportunity to talk about, a base that we didn't cover when it comes to the issue with the Canadian wildfire smoke in our region and the dangers that it poses for the impact on health?
I think to reiterate what we've already said, which mainly is watch the air quality index. There's some excellent information online. If you go to airnow.gov, it gives you excellent information about what is the air quality index, what makes it up, what it means, when you should exercise, when you shouldn't, who should not go outside, who should go outside. And very helpful, there's a couple of small graphs or a couple of small charts that they have saying what is dangerous for who at what time. I think that's very useful information. I go here regularly. You mustn't also forget we have other forms of pollution. We're still driving a lot of cars. We still have other non-Canadian wildfire pollution, which is going around. Unfortunately, it's worsened with the current wildfire pollution. Hopefully, we won't see local wildfires, although you never know. If we get dry here, I would be concerned we may see local wildfires eventually. We're not seeing them up till now because we seem to get quite a bit of rain and snowfall here. But let's see what happens over the years. I am concerned we may get drier. And as we get warmer and drier, we're going to see local fires, which would make me very concerned.
And Doctor, a quick sidebar. If someone needs to seek medical care from yourself or the Comprehensive Lung Center team at UPMC Hammett, what's the best way to reach out to you and your team?
The easiest way of contacting us is to call our main office, which is 814-877-8730. And when I see new patients outside the hospital environment, I usually give them a card which has the number and our fax number on it. Anybody who's been to the office will have the number and our fax number. And if you want information, you can always call. If I'm not there, one of my nurses will be there who can speak to you anytime you want. Don't hesitate to ask for help or for information.
As we mentioned a moment earlier, we are going to discuss lung cancer in the second half of today's Business Spotlight program. As we move on to that topic, November is Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Why is early detection so vital when it comes to lung cancer?
The problem with lung cancer, which by the way, is the commonest cause of cancer death in men and women in North America. It's not the commonest cause of cancer, but the commonest cause of cancer death. The problem with lung cancer is that by the time it causes symptoms, i.e. shortness of breath, pain, increased coughing blood, whatever it might be, it is usually quite far advanced by the time it causes symptoms. So the key to curing lung cancer is to find it early. Now, finding lung cancer early has been quite difficult, and there have been a lot of studies done over the past 50 years trying to figure out who should we screen. Screening means doing a test on somebody with no symptoms. Who should we screen in an attempt to find cancer early? So if we find it early, you have the best possible opportunity for cure. So the important thing really for lung cancer, because the time it causes symptoms, it's often too late to cure it, not too late to treat, but too late to cure. Therefore, the real key for lung cancer is find it early before it produces symptoms. So therefore, as I said, there have been a number of studies done over the years, and the one that really came to finally make a dent in detecting lung cancer early is what's called low-dose lung cancer screening CT scans in patients who are at high risk. And the highest risk for lung cancer, of course, is cigarette smoking. And there's a program we instituted several years ago, along with other UPMC hospitals, and in fact, it's more or less universal throughout the country, is screening patients who are at high risk for lung cancer. Now, high risk means cigarette smoker every year. Now, the current criteria for screening would be patients who have smoked at least a pack of cigarettes a day for 20 years. That's called 20 pack years. A pack year is a pack a day for a year. It's either one pack a day for a year, two packs a day for 6 months, half a pack a day for 2 years, all makes up one pack a day. So somebody who has a smoking history of at least 20 pack year history is between the ages of 55 and 80, or is a current or has stopped smoking within the previous 15 years, should have a low dose lung cancer screening CT every year until they are 80 years of age or until they have stopped smoking for 15 years. The risk of developing lung cancer and the advantage to finding it early and screening everybody after 15 years makes it a non-viable test. And that's why the 15-year cutoff, that the rewards for ongoing screening after 15 years is not worth it. So we are encouraging all our smoking patients, either current or ex-smokers, who satisfy these criteria to have a low-dose lung cancer screening CT every year. Now, I use this term, you hear me saying low-dose lung cancer screening. This is a special kind of CT scan of the chest designed to significantly reduce the dose of radiation. Therefore, the concern about doing CTs every year for 20 years, the dangers of radiation is significantly lower than it was a regular CT scan. And it was a specially designed test to reduce the dose of radiation quite significantly. And that's why it's called a low-dose lung cancer screening CT. There are a number of specialist centers. We are one. And because of the specific criteria for doing the test and analyzing the data on the CT, the American College of Radiology has set up a number of what are called specialized centers. And that specialized center is required to be a specialized center to be able to do the low-dose lung cancer screening CT. So we are one. We're actually the busiest center in all UPMC hospitals for doing low-dose lung cancer screening CTs, even though we're not by any means the biggest lung center. It's important to remember there are two things about screening and low-dose screening. Is you have to make sure you do it every year until you're off cigarettes for 15 years or until you're 80. And most things that are found on low-dose lung cancer screening are not actually lung cancers. So you have to remember, you may find other things you're not looking for or expecting to find when you do low-dose lung cancer screening. You might find small nodules in the lung, most of which, by the way, are not cancers. Maybe benign nodules, maybe old scars from infection that you weren't expecting to find. And you may say, oops, look, we found something. We have to do other testing, which may involve further imaging, further x-rays, other types of imaging tests, or even sometimes biopsies, which means removing a piece of tissue, find out, is this a cancer, because of the concern it may be. You might find something in another organ you weren't expecting. You might find something in the bone, something in the breast, something in the blood vessels that you weren't expecting to find. So there is always that proviso when you do screening that you may actually find something else you weren't looking for, which may or may not be of significance. And there may be significant other testing involved to find something that's not cancer. So by doing these early detections, we then have the best chance of curing patients with lung cancer. Now, lung cancer has been a difficult cancer to treat over the years, although that is improving. And the best chance of getting it and curing it early is by finding it early.
Doctor, outside of smoking, what are some other risk factors that we need to be aware of that could potentially lead to lung cancer? And also, what are your thoughts on vaping? Are they starting to link that together with the potential to develop lung cancer as well?
I don't know specifically that vaping is a risk for developing lung cancer. There's not enough data. It's not out long enough. There's not what we call longitudinal or long enough following people for long enough to know, is this a problem over 20, 30, 40 years? We just don't know. It's too soon. And the main danger from vaping, as far as we know, what is called is acute lung injury. It's called vaping-related acute lung injury. We can get an acute inflammatory response in the lung from vaping. Remember, you're breathing in most of these vaping products. You're breathing in hot smoke. It's not cold. And you get an acute inflammatory reaction in the chest, in the lungs from breathing in hot smoke. And that can cause significant acute lung injuries, which can unfortunately be permanent. Risk of lung cancer for vaping, as far as I know, is unknown. The other major risk for developing lung cancer is exposure to asbestos. Now, asbestos exposure nowadays is quite minimal, at least in this part of the world, although we are seeing patients who have been exposed to asbestos in the past. Now, if you smoke cigarettes and are exposed to asbestos, you're almost guaranteeing you're going to get lung cancer. You're not going to guarantee, but your chance of getting lung cancer are extremely high if you have asbestos exposure and are or have been a cigarette smoker. And there may be some increase there's certainly some evidence that radon exposure can be a factor in developing lung cancer. So when you move into a house now, you always have your basement tested for radon. That certainly can be a factor. So it's a quite a small one, but certainly it is there. And so everybody's house now is tested for radon. So the main occupational risk of exposure, of course, is asbestos. And the main danger from every day is cigarette smoke. Does air pollution have a factor? It might be very small, and working in certain dusty environments might be a minimal risk. But unfortunately, if you work in a mine and you get lung cancer, it's probably more likely it was caused by the cigarette smoking and not by the mine. So there's a minimal risk from those, but the major danger really is cigarette smoking.
We've been speaking today with Dr. Mario Kinsella, pulmonologist at the UPMC Hammett Comprehensive Lung Center. Doctor, you did a great job today discussing mainly the health effects of the air quality issues we've been having because of the Canadian wildfires, also breaking down the early screening process for trying to detect lung cancer. In closing, as we wrap up this edition of Business Spotlight with UPMC Hammett, if someone is having breathing issues and they think it's tied to the air quality problems we're having, or they're a lifelong smoker and they're interested in looking into getting the screening done to try to prevent and recognize early detection of lung cancer, what is the best course of action for that prospective patient to take?
Well, two people do a screening test. One are the primary care physicians, and two are your specialist physicians. And we do arrange a lot of testing for our patients. Our contact number, as I said, is 814-877-8730. And that number's answered all day, every day. And if people want information or need further details or want to have a screening test performed, that's always a good place to start. If you have a good rapport with your primary care doctor, they will also order screening tests on patients who see them. So either that or calling us at any time, we're quite happy to arrange and follow patients for lung cancer screening. The other thing I want to add, which I didn't mention too, of course, we're talking about doing lung cancer screening on patients who are current or have been smokers. The most important thing you can do health-wise, if you are or have been a smoker or are a smoker, is to try and stop smoking. And there are some very good smoking cessation, and it's a different topic. There are some very good local and national smoking cessation assistance programs. And UPMC Hammett actually has quite a good smoking cessation assistance program. There are county programs, there are state programs, there are national programs to get people off cigarette smoking. If you're smoking and feel it's impossible to get off, it's not. There are ways to get help, and getting help does help. I would highly recommend that you get some assistance. Again, you can start by calling our office, 814-877-8730, and we're always happy to try and help if we can.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. You can access today's program or other episodes of Business Spotlight by clicking on the podcast tab on our homepage. Join us again next week as Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor at Penn State Barron, presents another episode of Barron Talks.